Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, here we go. It's time for the Thursday edition of the Daily 10. It's your friendly podcast host, Matt, back again to take you on this 10-minute sports journey of ours that we go on together each and every day. I will remind you, please hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day. Again, I want to thank you guys for being a part of the podcast. Huge numbers over the last month, and that's all you guys, so thank you very much. We've got football to get to coming up in a moment, but let's start with the world champion, Atlanta Braves. There were rumors yesterday that the Braves were interested in Justin Verlander, the free agent who, at 38, about to be 39 years old, still has a very big arm, but concerns about health, which was going to, you know, be an interesting situation for whoever signed Verlander. And the wording on this one was, and I want to be specific, the wording was interesting. The Braves were among several teams that had expressed interest in Justin Verlander, which to me, not surprising considering Alex Anthopoulos loves one-year deals. The Braves do their due diligence on all these guys. Now, that rumor didn't last very long because the Astros ended up bringing Verlander back on a one-year deal worth $25 million. I'm not sure the Braves would have gone that high. But I think it does tell you something. And we brought this up on the podcast and on the radio a couple of days back, that I think the Braves do want to add another veteran starter to go along with Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Ian Anderson. It's not because they don't believe in their young crop of starters, but the unknown of asking Waskari Noah or Kyle Muller or Tucker Davidson or any of those young guys to step in and hold down a rotation spot, while it's possible, it's just you don't know. You haven't seen these guys go through the grind of making 30 starts. And I will add to it, Charlie Morton is going to be 38 years old. He's coming off a broken leg. Ian and Max have been mostly dependable, but they've missed starts in the past. The other part of this is the Braves got to a place in this postseason again where they were down to two healthy starters. Bad luck in Charlie's case because he broke his leg in that first start against the Astros in the World Series. They couldn't trust Drew Smiley. Waskari Noah fell out of favor, so you know how this goes. The more arms you can get, the more arms you can depend on, the better you're going to be. So I would not be surprised to see the Braves still bring in another veteran arm here at some point, either via free agency or in the trade market. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Go see my friends there, Sean Daly and his great staff. They do such a great job. They're on Main Street in downtown Woodstock. If you want to go watch Thursday Night Football there tonight, you can enjoy it on wall-to-wall flat screens, one of the biggest movie-sized screens in the city, and you'll have the best in choices on the menu. It's a chef-inspired menu, not that deep-fried sports bar that we've all been used to. Add to it self-serve taps, a craft beer bar, billiards, ping pong, darts, everything else you can imagine, and, as I said, a great menu to enjoy the action. It's easy to find in downtown Woodstock on Main Street or online at thedailydraft.net. When you mention my podcast and you stop in for lunch, they're going to take 10% off your lunch order by mentioning The Daily 10. 10% off your lunch order at The Daily Draft. So speaking of Thursday Night Football, the Falcons and the Patriots will play tonight at Mercedes-Benz. The Falcons are still 7-point underdogs in the game. Now, this short turnaround, it's tough anytime you're asked to play a Sunday game and then a Thursday. But in Week 11, I mean, you take a look at these injury reports and you realize just how dumb and reckless it is to play two football games in 4 days. But the league, who cares so much about safety, they don't care enough not to have Thursday Night Football, and we know the revenue it provides. For the Falcons, they'll be without Hayden Hurst, Kendall Sheffield, and linebacker Darren Bates. They've all been ruled out. We'll wait on Cordarrelle Patterson and Jalen Hawkins. They're both questionable with ankle injuries. If I was a betting man, I probably would bet against Cordarrelle Patterson, but Arthur Smith said they'll take it all the way up to a game-time decision, and certainly the Falcons need Patterson in a big way. Already without Calvin Ridley, you take Patterson out, and now what you're saying is, well, the Patriots are going to look at Kyle Pitts and try to take him away any way they can. Speaking of Arthur Smith, the Falcons are in an interesting spot, and his team right now tonight is being doubted for obvious reasons. Nobody thinks they can win this game tonight. New England is red hot. They've won four in a row. They're getting Super Bowl talk all of a sudden. Mac Jones is not only the odds-on favorite now to win Rookie of the Year, but he's getting Brady 2.0 talk. Like, this is Rocky versus Drago. And you remember Rocky's wife, Adrian, looked at him and said, "You can't win." She didn't believe in her own husband. So Arthur Smith has got quite the challenge in front of him tonight. We know his team isn't deep, not overly talented in a lot of spots, but here's what I would hope for and expect tonight to see. At a minimum, the Falcons are going to have to play either mistake-free or really limit their mistakes, because the margin for error is just so razor thin. And a Bill Belichick coach team, they just don't often make many mistakes, so they'll capitalize on yours. The next one's the obvious one, and this is taking advantage of opportunity when a play is there. Give you a couple of examples of what I mean. Last week against the Cowboys, the Falcons early in that game, as the Cowboys are driving on their first possession, Eric Harris, the Falcons safety, jumps a route, has a great chance to make a play. What could have been a pick six and an early Falcon lead was a harmless incomplete pass. Dallas scored a touchdown two plays later. Then on the Falcons' first drive, Russell Gage has a chance to make a catch on a third down to set the Falcons up on first and goal. It was initially ruled a catch, but later overturned on review. The ball hit the ground. Falcons had to settle for a Younghoe Koo field goal. Think of the swings early in that game. I don't know if it ultimately would have mattered, but when you're the Falcons again, your margin for error is so thin. When those plays are there, they just have to be made. Here's the biggest one now, and I don't know if the Falcons can win tonight, but after you get embarrassed in the NFL, you're supposed to fight like hell that next week. And the Falcons were embarrassed on Sunday. When you lose by 40 as a professional, there's no other way to describe it. And typically, that next game is the game where you fight and you claw and you scratch. The Patriots are the better team, but the Falcons, again, coming off that shellacking in Dallas, there should be a lot of fight about this football team tonight. There is one thing I think is interesting, too, about the game. This could be a football game that's thrown 3 to 5 to 7 yards at a time. I mean, the Patriots with Mac Jones are starting to let him air it out more, but they still play it in a phone booth. I mean, it's a lot of run game and a lot of 5 yard passes. I would think with the Falcons' issues, both running the football with their injuries, you might see a lot of that quick passing game to keep the pressure off Matt Ryan tonight. We'll see what it looks like. Kyle Pitts, you know, will get all the attention from Belichick. Bill often takes away the best thing you do. I would imagine double coverage will be pointed at number 8, which means Russell Gage, Olamide Zaccheaus, Tajay Sharp. I mean, you guys are going to have to do something. Mike Davis, Wayne Gallman. There's going to have to be something in the run game, especially if Cordarrelle Patterson is not there. All right, let's get to Georgia. They will host Charleston Southern this Saturday, and then it's on to Georgia Tech to finish up the regular season. We know those two games will not challenge Georgia. And after that, it's most likely Bama and then off to the college football playoff. I think there is one thing to watch, and I really liked what we saw Saturday from one specific member of the Georgia offense, and that was James Cook. If James Cook can be anything close to what he looked like Saturday, Stetson Bennett has a new best friend. Because James Cook can make life so much easier for Stetson and really for Todd Monken. Georgia's offense is good, and they're good in a lot of ways. They still, though, lack game wrecker, game breaker types. We've seen moments where the freshman Brock Bowers has been that, but you know what I mean. That guy who every time he touches it, you kind of hold your breath because he can make a big play. James Cook has the look about him that he can do it. I think he needs around 15 touches a game to give him the opportunity. He needs 10 to 12 carries, 3 to 4 catches. And if you look at his last three games, James Cook has piled up 29 receptions, 191 yards, and he scored. Let me take that back. 29 carries. That's more important. 29 carries, 191 on the ground, and 4 touchdowns rushing. To go with it, 6 catches, 71 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So do the quick math. Cook has touched the ball 35 times in 3 games. He scored 6 times. He's averaging 7.5 yards per touch. Now, against Charleston Southern, that's not a big deal, because you know, Cook won't be needed either way. Against Georgia Tech, probably not a huge deal either. But against Alabama or in a playoff, James Cook, the game breaker, game wrecker offensively, that could be a very big deal. James Cook is one of these guys you've always been intrigued by because you see the skill set and you see what he can do. Now it's about being consistent, getting the touches, and giving Georgia an element that hasn't been there. We know what Zamir White can be between the tackles. And again, Georgia's good in a lot of areas. They're good running it, not great. They're good in the pass game, not great. They're good on the offensive line, not great. I wonder if James Cook can be that element now, where Todd Monken can do so many different things with him, whether it's just traditionally lining him up in the backfield, putting him in motion, lining him up in the slot, just getting him the ball in a lot of different ways. I think that could be the element for Georgia that adds to a good offense to take it to another level. We know the defense is already elite. It's historically great. Now the offense could be more special with a piece like this. We'll also see if they get back Don Blaylock. Kirby Smart said it looks like he's getting closer. There's also talk of George Pickens starting to get a little closer. So the weaponry for Georgia, boy, they could add some big pieces to that puzzle in the final weeks of the season. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button for me right now. I'll wait. Thank you. Or follow the podcast wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. Every platform we're available to you. This will be waiting for you each and every day. I will be on the radio this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.